Welcome to St. Paul's Sunday Snippets. This is a time where we're intentional about slowing down and stopping to reflect upon God's Word. I pray that as you hear the lesson that's appointed for this day, you would allow it to sink into your life. You would reflect upon the meaning of the text and how it speaks to you in our world today. I pray that you would allow the Spirit to come upon you to open your ears and hearts and mind so that God's word would be a living word to you in this day as you seek to live out your faith and walk daily with Jesus. Now we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O God, you are the source of life and the ground of our being. By the power of your Spirit, bring healing to this wounded world and raise us to the new life of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Now, the first reading that's appointed for this day is from the prophet Hosea, chapters 5 and 6. Hear the word of the Lord. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face. In their distress, they will beg my favor. Come, let us return to the Lord, for it is he who has torn and he will heal us. He has struck down and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us, and on the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live before him. Let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. His appearing is as sure as the dawn. He will come to us like showers, like the spring rains that water the earth. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes away early. Therefore, I have hewn them by the prophets. I have killed them by the words of my mouth, and my judgment goes forth as the light. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. The word of the Lord. Sometimes we don't always know what to do with the prophets. As we hear the words, sometimes it doesn't always connect to us. But I think there's a profound message in these little books in the Old Testament that sometimes we don't do a whole lot about, and they have strange names, you know, Obadiah and Zechariah and Hosea. But they have a profound message. God uses each of these prophets to speak for himself. God uses the prophets to communicate to the nation of Israel and to call them back to faithfulness. Now, being a prophet, in some ways, some of people, I think, would go, well, this would be a great thing to do. But the prophets weren't always as thrilled, because at times God called them to give messages that weren't always well received. He called them to do things that were out of the ordinary. They drew attention to themselves, but it was always for a purpose. Hosea is one of these people. If you begin and read the whole book, what we hear is there's this prophet. God comes to him and speaks to him, and he tells Hosea to do something unusual. He tells Hosea that he is to, ready for this? He is to marry a prostitute. He's to marry somebody who's unfaithful. And if you read closely, the way that it gets worded, it makes it clear that the children that his wife, Gomer, has are not necessarily his. He does this as a way of symbolizing for the people to see, wait a minute, here's this prophet who's married to somebody who's unfaithful. In some ways, it's a children's sermon, a really strange kind of children's sermon, but it's a children's sermon, an object lesson. The people were to see God was a faithful prophet, Hosanna, and they are the spouse that wanders. They haven't always been faithful. They've walked away from the commands and the promises that God has made to them. And they've wanted to do things themselves. At times, the people thought they were okay. After all, they were the people of God. How could God walk away from them? People thought, wait, no, God would never send us in exile because God has given us this land. God would never allow the temple to be destroyed because that's God's dwelling place. Sometimes what we hear is because of the people's choice. They walk away and God allowed other things to come upon them to try to call them back to that faithfulness. The line in this section that I think is the most powerful is verse 6. It says this, "For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." Sometimes the people in the nation of Israel thought, well, if we offer the sacrifices, if we do the ritual, then we're okay. In our day and age, it'd be almost like thinking, well, I come to service on Sunday. I come and sit in the pew. I may mess with my phone, but I'm here. I've checked that box. I've done the thing that I'm supposed to do. Aren't I good with God? And God has a message to say, wait a minute. What he desires of us isn't a checklist of things we must or mustn't do. But he says, I desire steadfast love, faithfulness, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Are we seeking to go deeper in our relationship with God? Or do we feel we just need to do these things? Well, I went to worship on Sunday, check. I read my Bible today, check. I said a short prayer, check. That we do these things and we create almost a checklist of, oh, I've done my obligation, I've done my duty. The prophet is saying to the people, no. What God wants is something deeper. It's not just the duty or obligation, but a relationship. A faithful relationship where we continually seek after what God desires. We seek the knowledge of God of saying, what is it that you are leading me to do? Where is it that you want me to give of my time and talent and treasure? How is it that we continually deepen that relationship? Another prophet talks about, 10,000 rivers of oil and the offerings that people would bring. And it says, no, I desire something more than that. It's not just, have you done this thing? But are you continually in relationship with me? Too often in our world, sometimes we do things that are simply performative. I think a little bit about the event that happened a couple of weeks ago where they did a public reading of the Bible. And as a pastor, I'm never against a public reading of the Bible, but are we doing something that's just performative? Are we doing something for show? I think about, in times past and even now, sometimes it gets revisited. Oh, we need to post the Ten Commandments in the schools. That somehow, by posting a list of things, is going to change the behavior of others. Where in some ways they think we've checked our boxes, we've done what we're supposed to do. But God says no. He desires mercy. He desires steadfast love. The prophet Micah says something similar. He says, O mortal, what does the Lord require of us but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God? How is it that it's not about just posting the Ten Commandments, but it's how do we live that out? How does it change us and mold us to become the people of God? Christianity isn't rules and regulations. It's not a checklist of things we have done or things we're not supposed to do. Christianity is about a relationship. What does God require? Steadfast love. In some ways, it goes back to the notion of what he called Hosea to do. Marry this prostitute. Marry this unfaithful person. A reminder to the nation of Israel that they've wandered. God always stands as that faithful spouse who always calls us back, and he desires for us to be in that faithful relationship. God says he's given us these things to know that he loves us. He calls us to be in that relationship. And how do we go and fulfill that? How do we walk daily with Jesus in this world? Not seeking to lord over others, not seeking to try to, you know, to shame people into faith, but honestly and faithfully becoming the hands and feet of Christ in our world, seeking steadfast love, seeking faithfulness, seeking becoming the presence of God in our world so others would know what God has done. God went to the limit. He sent his son to give his life for the sake of the world. How is it that we live in relationship? Not through power or might, not by forcing others and doing things like posting the Ten Commandments, but honestly living out a faithful daily walk with Jesus. And I think when people see that authenticity, that sense of living out and seeking that faithful, steadfast love, it will change others. And they will want to know, what is this knowledge of God? How do we have a part of that abundant life and go forth as a people of God? The Old Testament prophets call us back to God, not in a legalistic way, not in a way that seeks to enact rules and regulations. Here's what that means. It calls us to a relationship, to live with God, desire, steadfast love, faithfulness, mercy, justice, kindness, humility in our relationship with God. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, you are faithful even when our hearts wander. We confess that our devotion is often like the morning mist, appearing for a moment and then fading away. Through your word, expose whatever is false within us and lead us to genuine repentance. When you discipline us, grant us faith to trust that your purpose is healing and restorative. Teach us not merely to perform religious duties, but to know you, love you, and walk faithfully in your ways. Create within us steadfast hearts that seek your face and delight in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, who died and rose again, so that we might live before you. Strengthen us in faith and lead us in paths of righteousness. In your holy name we pray. Amen. And as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. Amen.